40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Algerian winger Riyad Mahrez, who has been named the Professional Footballers Association Player of the Year in Britain. The 25-year-old Mahrez has had an outstanding season for the Foxes of Leicester City, and he's been instrumental in their phenomenal rise to the top of the English Premier League. On Sunday, the Algerian scored the first goal in Leicester's 4-0 victory over visiting Swansea at King Power Stadium. It was Mahrez's 17th goal of the season. The big win lifts Leicester to the brink of what would be their first ever title in England's top flight league. In receiving the Professional Footballers Association trophy, a prize voted on by fellow players, the Algerian star thanked his teammates.
They've seen I've been great this year, so I'm happy, but it's more team things, you know. Without my teammates, I wouldn't get this award.
Riyad Mahrez is the first African player to win the Professional Footballers Association Award. He reacts to that accomplishment.
I didn't know that. I was a big player, African in Premier League. Drogba never won it. It's an honor, and a big honor to be the first African. Not the best, but the first, so I'm very happy, yeah.
A very happy Riyad Mahrez, who's had a very productive season for the first-place Foxes of Leicester City. Meanwhile, Mahrez's teammate Jamie Vardy was honored by the PFA for becoming the first player to score in 11 consecutive Premier League matches earlier this season.
Yeah, I'm over the moon. Obviously, it's an honor to get an award like this. So, obviously, like I said, I'm ecstatic, but I wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't for the team.
Jamie Vardy has scored 22 goals this season, forming a dynamic strike partnership with Riyad Mahrez. Jamie says his favorite goal of the season came against Liverpool.
Yeah, I'd have to say the Liverpool one, just because of I'd been looking at the keeper throughout the game and he was off his line, so to get him when he was quite far off his line and loop it over him was very thrilling for myself, and obviously you saw what he meant for the fans after as well.
That's Leicester City goal poacher Jamie Vardy. Taking a look at the English Premier League scoring leaders, Harry Kane of Tottenham Hotspur is at the top with 24 goals. Kane will be looking to add to that total later Monday evening when the Spurs host West Brom at White Hart Lane. Tottenham currently trails first-place Leicester by 8 points, so any slip-up would leave the Spurs with an uphill battle in catching the Foxes. Back to the EPL scoring charts, Argentine striker Sergio Aguero of Manchester City has 23 goals, putting him one behind Harry Kane. Aguero scored on a 43rd-minute penalty shot Saturday in Man City's 4-0 victory over Stoke. And let's give another sunny side of sports salute to Man City's teenage striker Kelechi Iheanacho. The 19-year-old Nigerian scored 2 second-half goals, and I'd say it's a pretty good bet we'll see Kelechi in action at the Olympic men's football tournament in August in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Nigeria was the gold medalist in men's football at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta here in the USA, And Nigeria also won a silver medal at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, China. Nigeria is grouped with Sweden, Colombia, and Japan for first-round group play in Rio. South Africa and Algeria will also represent Africa at the 16-team Olympic men's football tournament. South Africa is grouped with Iraq, Denmark, and host Brazil for the first round. And Algeria is grouped with Honduras, Portugal, and Argentina.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was calling out a Frankfurt I made. I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. Singing, come back.
Sunny side of sports salute to Kenyan athletes Eliud Kipchoge and Jemima Sumgong, who won the men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. Kipchoge ran one of the greatest marathons ever, clocking 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 5 seconds, only 8 seconds away from the world record set by fellow Kenyan Dennis Kimeto in 2014. And Sumgong recovered from a fall to battle back and win her first London women's title in 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 58 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with both Kenyan winners on Monday after their victories. Here's Andy.
I'm talking with Eliud Kipchoge, who achieved one of the great marathon wins in history about 24 hours ago, actually, in London, winning the London Marathon 2016. And, of course, a lot of people anticipating what could happen in the Olympic Marathon in Rio later this year. Eliud, it's 6 wins out of 7 for you in the marathon. And having seen quite a lot of your track career as well, thinking of 2003, that 5,000 metre world championship win against Kenenisa Bekele in Paris, it struck me this was your most dominating performance, dominating win. Now, am I wrong? What do you, you're the man who did it, what do you think?
I think you are right. I really competed for 10 years in track, and although I had a lot of competition, but I think I can sum it in marathon that I enjoyed the marathon than the track, yes.
You seem not only in control of your body, you look so relaxed, even when you're pressing hard and running, well, world record pace, but also in your mind. I mean, was yesterday in London a marathon where everything went right for you?
Actually, everything went right for me. I won, and I break a course record. That's what was in my mind.
When you look ahead to the Olympics, well, OK, presuming, sometimes we never know with selection committees, but presuming you're going on the Kenyan team for the Olympic marathon in Rio, do you, in a sense, leave aside everything you've done so far? I mean, do you start afresh in terms of planning?
Not really, but immediately I'll be given a green light on Olympics. Then I'll sit down with my coach and plan for August. So everything sometimes it will change because it's, you know, Olympics is sooner. Yes.
Would you take into account any particular conditions, weather conditions or road surface in Rio, or for any other big race, or do you kind of leave that to when you get there?
I hope weather will be a problem in Rio, but I don't have to say much because I think all the athletes from the whole world will be facing the same condition. And I can say I'm going there to compete and run and try to win. Because we are in the same condition, nobody is running under maybe cold or hot, but all of us will be in the same condition, so it's okay.
And just lastly, I remember after you won Berlin Marathon last autumn, you talked about the importance of the mind being fresh. That I think to quote you is something like, if the body's a bit tired, you can recover faster, but if your mind is stale, then it takes longer. How does the mind feel now after yesterday's win in London?
The mind is good, and that's what, you know, I said last year that it's better for the body to get tired than the mind. For us to actually to cure the mind is really a big work. It needs a psychologist to talk to you. But if the mind is all right, then you are on the right direction. For me, the mind is okay, and I'm working well.
Well, from what we've seen of you so far, Eliud Kipchoge, yeah, you're being pretty good as your own psychologist. All the best, I'm sure, for the Olympic Marathon in Rio. Eliud Kipchoge, the champion of London Marathon 2016. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Energetic Andy also caught up with London women's champion Jemima Sumgong. Once again, here's Andy.
Kenya's Jemima Sumgong produced one of the great recoveries in women's distance running and marathon running about 24 hours ago. That was to win the 2016 London Marathon after she'd fallen and been involved in a fall and banged her head and really shed a lot of guts in coming back, not only to complete the race, but to win it. Jemima, when something like that goes wrong in a race, how do you recover? Is it a case of all those years of training and determination that you call upon? Because let's face it, some runners might have said, oh well, I'm hurt, I'm giving up, but you didn't.
No. That cannot make us to lose the spirit of winning. That's first thing, it was a challenge. So in Kenya back home, we have different tribes. My tribe is Kalenjin. So first thing, when you get a challenge, that means there is a successful in front of you. So we just believe when you get a challenge, there is a successful in front of you. So when I just punked my head, that was first challenge. And I knew this is now a belief that I'm going to win. Also, it's a matter of training. Back home, Kenya, we can go through hardships through training. So someone can fall down, wake up, and go. So it's just a matter of, it's normal.
That sounds like a mix of course, you've got to do the training. There's no point if you're not fit just saying, I'm going to do this, but also a kind of cultural belief. I mean, to be honest, I've heard it said sometimes somebody who's a Kalenjin who is unfit and then starts to run and then discovers they have great talent, and then somebody else says, oh, well, that's because you're a Kalenjin. You're a good runner because all Kalenjins are good runners. But am I wrong in suggesting that?
No. Oh, I can say not even a tribal like Kalenjins, when they get a challenge, it's a belief that you will win alone. No matter the training you have taken, always when you are coming to a race, you are well prepared from mind, heart, and even physically. You are well fit. So why don't you race and win?
Well, you certainly did that. What about the future? Of course, we're waiting eagerly for news of the Kenyan Olympic Marathon selection. But let's assume that you are picked for that Olympic Marathon in Rio. Would you think of preparing any differently to how you've prepared for London? And indeed, you're an experienced marathon runner. You've had very consistent results, but this was your first big win. Would you change your preparation because it's an Olympic marathon?
No. I will not change because Olympic is also a major marathon like this one of London. So I must go with I must go with what I did so that I can excel like the way I excel in London.
Could there even be a danger for some people, if they're selected for the Olympic marathon, they think they have to train harder? They put in more effort because, you know, looking over the years, I've been covering track and field for 30-odd years, you get some people who say, oh, it's the Olympics, I'm going to train harder than ever before. And sometimes they get ill, they get injured because they get distracted.
Yeah, usually when you get a challenge, when you are being selected, it's not a matter of you are going now to put more effort so that you can do it. Well, no. Just do the way the program is. Do the way your body responds. Do what you are doing. Do not change anything because you can make it to be worse. You can get injuries. You can be permanently, or you can even lose going to Rio because of changing the program.
Well, Jemima Songok, let's hope you bring that Kalenjin spirit and all your training to that Olympic marathon in Rio. Champion, women's champion in London 2016. Congratulations for yesterday's race. Great performance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. See you next year.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Monday night with three games. The Charlotte Hornets, that's the club Michael Jordan owns, are at home against the Miami Heat. Miami leads the best-of-seven game first-round series 2-1. The Oklahoma City Thunder will host the Dallas Mavericks. Oklahoma City leads 3-1 and will advance to the second round with a victory later Monday night. And in the final game of the evening, the Portland Trail Blazers are at home against the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers lead this series 2-1. In action Sunday, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors easily defused the Houston Rockets 121-94. The Warriors now lead this first-round series 3-1. Golden State's league most valuable player, Stephen Curry, returned after missing 2 games with a sprained right ankle. But Curry had more bad injury luck. He slipped on a wet spot on the court, sprained his right knee, and did not play in the second half. The sharp shooting guard was scheduled to have a MRI exam on Monday to determine the extent of the injury. Elsewhere, the Cleveland Cavaliers and 5-time champion San Antonio Spurs both completed 4-game sweeps of their series. The Cavs eliminated the Detroit Pistons 100-98, while the Spurs spanked the Memphis Grizzlies 116-95. The Boston Celtics clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks 104-95 in overtime. This series is now tied at 2 games each. Paul Millsap scored a playoff career high 45 points for the Hawks, while all-star point guard Isaiah Thomas tallied a team-high 28 points for the Celtics, including a 3-point shot from the corner in the overtime period. The series now moves to Atlanta for Game 5 Tuesday night. In other NBA news, the league has fined all-star players Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant of Oklahoma City for violations in Game 4 of their playoff series against Dallas. Westbrook was fined $25,000 for directing inappropriate language at a fan after he was fouled on a drive to the basket. And Durant was fined $15,000 for his flagrant foul on Justin Anderson with 50 seconds left in the game, which Oklahoma City won 119-108. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, a couple of the names you mentioned in that NBA segment are trending, and we'll start with Steph Curry. Of course, spraining his right knee. Everyone on social media is watching and waiting to see these test results come back to see how bad this injury is. So there's a lot of anticipation on social media. I did see some tweets from Dr. Robert Clapper, who hosts a show on ESPN, which is the sports network here in the U.S. And he was kind of walking fans through what this means, what these test results might mean. He was saying a grade one sprain is just pain, but it's not really any structural damage. He might be out 1 to 2 weeks with that. A grade two or three sprain, three being the most serious, could put him out 4 to 8 weeks at least. So it's potential there that he could be out for the rest of the playoffs.
I did see the post-game news conference after that big victory by Golden State, and Steve Kerr, very subdued, talking about Steph's injury that, I mean, this could really derail their chances at repeating.
Yeah, well, Steve Kerr said that Steph Curry wanted to actually go out and keep playing, and he said, no, you've got to take care of your health. We need you to get well, and if you've injured something, you need to take care of that. But a lot of people commenting on social media saying that if you look at the four games they've played thus far, Steph Curry's been on the court for 39 minutes, none of which he's been healthy for, they say. So, and they still carry the Golden State Warriors a 3-1 lead in the series. So people are saying even if Steph Curry is going to be out for an extended period of time, the team has the tools where they can continue to make a run at the championship.
It also makes you wonder, Andrew, maybe that quest for that record total in the regular season, 73 victories, maybe in the long run it could hurt them.
That is something that a lot of people are talking about, too. They're saying, well, you may not get to the finals, but at least you have that record. So it's kind of a trade-off that, you know, some people are saying that seriously. Some people are saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek, saying, oh, well, you're not going to get a championship, but, hey, you have a record. But some people are saying, no, it's actually, you know, a momentous record that you got. So even if you don't win, you know, you may not remember who was the champion 5 years ago or a few years ago, but you do remember who holds that record.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, another one of the names you mentioned was Isaiah Thomas, the point guard for the Boston Celtics. Now, a couple years ago, Riley Curry, Steph Curry's daughter, stole the show. She kind of took over the press conferences he was giving after the games.
And that became
the trend on the internet was Riley Curry and these funny little videos. Well, Isaiah Thomas's sons are giving her a run for her money because his sons, James and Jaden, kind of took over at his press conference. His one son grabbed the microphone and said, you know, Isaiah is the best basketball player ever. So that made a lot of people chuckle. And then as Isaiah Thomas was walking off the stage, his son ran back on and grabbed the microphone. He just said, thank you. And then he ran away. So that video is getting shared all over social media. They're saying that there's, you know, it's the battle of the basketball children, I guess you could say. But just a fun little moment for him. And as you said, he hit that big three-point shot. So it was a nice nice moment in the post-conference.
So maybe players are feeling more comfortable about bringing their children to these post-game news conferences.
I think so. And it may have been because of Riley there that people see the kids having fun with it. They see that, you know, they maybe get some earned media on social media. So they say, why not? Let's bring the kids. Maybe they'll do something fun.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, aside from the NBA, the big story trending right now is Tom Brady, of course, the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He was suspended previously for his role in what they call Deflategate, saying that he had knowledge that the team allegedly deflated some of the footballs used in a playoff game to make them easier to catch. That suspension was overturned. He played last season, wasn't suspended last season. Now it's been reinstated by an appeals court. So here we go again, another four games that he's going to be suspended unless it gets overturned again and back and forth and back and forth. But on social media, you have a lot of fans who are not big Tom Brady fans, who are not big New England Patriots fans, coming out and saying, well, he got what he deserved. It's about time he gets suspended. The Patriot fans, to their credit, are saying on social media, yeah, we will see you at Super Bowl 51. So they're trying to keep their spirits up, but not a lot of love for Tom Brady, myself included as a Jets fan. Of course, the Jets are the big rivals of the Patriots, so I won't editorialize, but it is what it is.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the April 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Keith Holmes, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On a recent trip to the Lake Chad Basin, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Samantha Power spoke out about the growing threat of the terrorist group Boko Haram. On a stop in Cameroon, she announced nearly $40 million in new humanitarian assistance to support people throughout the region whose lives have been devastated by Boko Haram violence. An estimated 9.2 million people are suffering displacement, deprivation, and disease from the consequences of armed conflict in the Lake Chad Basin region. 7 million of those in need are in Nigeria, including 2.2 million internally displaced persons. As a result of the prolonged crisis, communities who have generously hosted IDPs have also exhausted their resources. There are nearly 170,000 Nigerian refugees who have fled to Cameroon, Chad, and Niger, countries whose citizens have also suffered from Boko Haram attacks and consequent displacement. This new funding brings the total U.S. humanitarian assistance for the Lake Chad Basin region to more than $237 million over the last 2 years. Assistance will allow the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees to provide Nigerian refugees with access to clean water and sanitation facilities, health care, essential household items, shelter, programs which protect children, and activities to prevent and respond to gender-based violence. Boko Haram has killed as many as 20,000 people. Last year alone, the terrorist group launched 159 suicide bombings, more than half in Nigeria. A new report by UNICEF states that Boko Haram increasingly uses girls to set off explosives. Ambassador Power stressed that defeating Boko Haram cannot be done through a military response alone. Governments in the region, she said, must understand the centrality of political inclusion and economic development to the long-term ability to keep Boko Haram not just out of territory, but to defeat Boko Haram in the long term. This requires a comprehensive strategy, said Ambassador Power, one that includes respect for human rights, political inclusion, economic development, and, of course, physical security provided by the police and on the borders by military forces. The United States stands with all who are fighting the terrorist scourge of Boko Haram and urges other donor countries to join in responding to the humanitarian crisis.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Let's Talk, etiquette. It's the customary code of polite behavior in society. Are you aware of people's behavior in public? Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing etiquette. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou discusses World Immunization Week, the progress made on the vaccine front, and the remaining challenges. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.